Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
We've been on a series at our church, Six Steps to Experiencing the Word of God. And I knew when I started this series that one or two of the messages would end up in a prayer meeting. And tonight's message, step four, is going to I'm going to share it now. It will be abbreviated. Here's how you know it's only like five slides, maybe six. So, but I think that you'll see the content of tonight's message. It just fits for us to take some time to seek the Lord. So the text that we've been on, Psalm 119, you know, we've been walking through this. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes. That was step one, teach me. And when the psalmist said teach me, he was saying like a little child. The first step is you have to become like a child. If you really want to experience God's word, you can't come as someone who knows. How many know you have to come as someone who doesn't know? Secondly, give me understanding. That's step two. And whenever you come to God, you should expect to receive grace from him. How many would say amen? God gives grace. He gives more grace. His grace abounds, even where sin does abound. That's why we could pray for Chicago, because where sin does abound, his grace even what? More abounds. And then this past Sunday, there was lead me. And lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Delighting in the path, it means that you come to God and you say, lead me, God. I'm ready to embrace your plan for my life. And now today, it's step four is incline my heart. Everyone say, incline my heart. Okay. This is actually the ESV. Typically, we use the NIV. The NIV says, turn my heart, but I don't know, for some reason I like, there's a freshness to this word, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not towards selfish gain. Now, when we started this series, I mentioned that there are two framing thoughts to experiencing God's word. The first framing thought, which we've covered in our first three messages, is you have to show up to be taught. Okay? When you come to the word of God, you got to show up to be taught. Very important. A lot of people don't experience everything that they can from the word of God because of the posture of their heart. How many know when we draw near, he draws near? If you draw near to God the right way, there's no way that you're going to miss out on experiencing and having a meeting with God. How many believe that to be true? Amen. He's faithful. God is faithful. Now, the second framing thought to this, which we're going to be getting into now, is not only do you have to show up to be taught, but you have to open up. Everyone say open up. You have to open up to be changed. You have to open up to be changed. So here, he says, put the verse back up, I'm sorry. He says, incline my heart to your testimonies. Let's read the last of it, ready? And not to selfish gain. Okay, incline my heart, turn my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. So now, step number four, basically, which is the title of the message, is incline my heart, or God, deal with the deep stuff. Deal with the deep stuff. How many know if you draw near to God, if you draw near to God, and we talked a little bit about this in the message, the word of God is living and active and it pierces. And when you come to God, part of experiencing him through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is God's will for us to be conformed into his image. It is God's will for us to change, not to stay the same. How many would say amen? Now, when you really want that to happen, what you're basically saying is, notice that he didn't say, incline my head. He didn't say, incline my mind. So many of the solutions of our culture are disoriented. But how many know it's got to be deeper? Amen. It's got to be deeper. It's got to be the heart. There are certain things only the Spirit of God and the Word of God can address. And so when he prayed, incline my heart, he was saying, God, I'm ready for you, God, to deal with the deep stuff inside of me. Now, let me say this right out of the chute. No matter how young in God you are, or no matter how old you are in God, every single day, listen very closely to this, no matter how old you are in God or how young you are in God, okay, every single day, our hearts need help. Okay? Regardless of what you've learned or things that you've attained in the Lord, haven't you noticed that when you wake up in the morning, your heart needs just as much help? If actually, the closer you get to God, the more you almost feel like, I need more help now. Because now that the more I see myself, you know, the more I realize I need even more help. How many have ever felt like, oh, the closer I get to God, the more I realize how much help I really need? And so our hearts always need help. Always. And what I would say is that the reason that God, one of the main reasons that God has given us his word is because he wants to help our hearts. One of the main reasons that God has given us the Bible is because he wants to help our hearts. The word of God helps our hearts. How many believe that to be true tonight? The word of God is powerful and it helps our hearts. And when we wake up in the morning, our hearts need help. Have you ever thought about this? Oftentimes there are like, how shall I say it? Oftentimes there are like places in God, and even if I could say it this way, blessings in life where we come to the realization, you know what? I should already be at that place in God. Come on, let's be honest. We're like, I should already be at that place in God. Or even in the natural, God should have already released that blessing to me. You ever feel like, man, Lord, that blessing that should be released to me already. Why is it that blessing has not been released? Anybody have ever asked that question? Right? Or how come I haven't attained that in God? You know why that is? It's because of what this verse is revealing to us. In the natural, our hearts go towards the wrong thing, the thing that satisfies it momentarily. Without the help of God, a lot of times our hearts will keep justifying the same obstacle being there over and over and over again. Our hearts will keep justifying the wrong behavior, the wrong action, the wrong habit. Our hearts will say, oh no, that part of you, that's good. You ever have one of those revelations where you think, oh, I'm doing great over here, and God says, no, you ain't. Right? You know? Great way for that to happen is go ahead and get married because your spouse will let you know. Right? You get a revelation about yourself. And so in the natural, without the help of God, our hearts move towards selfish gain. In other words, the heart, the human heart, it can't really tell what it needs. The human heart is so The Bible says that the human heart is desperately wicked. The Bible says each heart knows its own bitterness and no one can share its joy. And every single heart in this room has its own kind of understanding of what our hearts feel is good for us. And so what happens is that our hearts sometimes will tell us what is in front of you right now, that's good. That's good. So when the Bible says here, selfish gain, let me give you real quickly what the definition of selfish gain is. Okay, selfish gain is the inclination of the heart that moves toward what seems most profitable for self. Everyone say self. Everybody has a self. And so here's the way this fleshes out in the natural. You ever talk to someone who's battling with fear? And when you're talking to someone who's gripped by fear, you could be talking truth, reason, common sense, logic. But what their heart tells them in this moment, this is what makes me feel better. So I'm choosing this position, okay? Let's take the extreme. Some people, they have such deep paranoia that they won't leave their house. Somehow, their heart says, it's better, it's more self, it's better for you to stay in here, right? Now, we already know that as good it is as it is to have a house, how many of you, sometimes you gotta leave your house? But your heart, the heart can say, no, self, this is better. You see, and for the heart, it makes perfect sense to choose fear. You ever talk to someone who's angry and say, look, I'm so angry that, in fact, I was driving here and apparently I cut someone off. Forgive me, Lord. And I didn't realize I cut them off until I saw he was tailgating me, right? I was like, oh, snap, this thing is going to break out, Lord, because I actually stopped. This happened on the way here. I stopped, and when I stopped, a guy started jumping out of the car. I was like, oh, snap, right? And then the light changed. I was like, how many know the angels are even in charge of the lights? Hallelujah. So for that person, right, you ever think about how crazy road rage is? For that person, their heart in that moment is saying, I have to do this. Driven, I have to do this. This is what I have to do. For that person in that moment, that's personal gain. That's the gain that their heart is telling them. Hasn't your heart ever told you to do some crazy things? The heart lies. The heart lies and says, this is what I need. This is what I need. And so you can be a Christian and love God and yet have these huge areas of your life that unless you get deep help from God, you don't grow and you don't change. That was a decent amen on that one. I thought it was a good point, but you know, it's true. How many want to grow and change? Well, here's what has to happen. Okay, we need the help of God to incline our hearts, to turn our hearts not towards that immediate gratification that could be built up from our childhood, it could be built up from your culture. You know, some people, you know what they need? They need for the stronghold of culture to be broken. Talk about culture. You know, family or this or that. How many know all things in life have to bow to the truth of God's word? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's crazy. Whenever I talk about marriage, for example, I always say your wife before your mother. And all the ladies said, amen, right? Right? No. Listen. If you're going to have a healthy marriage, okay, right, even though she gave birth to you, right? She gave birth to you so that you could grow up and be strong and hopefully godly and God honoring and God glorifying. And in order to do that, the wife goes first. A lot of people staying quiet. That's all right. I know this is touchy, but you know what? It's true. It's true. I've been in an office where I told the guy, look, I want you to pick up the phone right now and call your mom and say, Mom, we're going to have to take a break for a while because you're so mean to my wife that there's no way if you hurt her, you hurt me. Okay? So there's so many different things like that that we need for the word of God, because how many know, is it really good to let's take the whole marriage. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but maybe I'm being led by God on this. Is it really good to be at peace with your mom who you moved out of her house? You don't live with her anymore or anything. Oh, mom is really happy and then your wife is miserable. Does that even make sense, guys? But those are the choices that people make because of culture or whatever it is. We all have all sorts of things that we justify. The heart tells us this is good, and the heart is desperately wicked. And so you know what we have to do? We have to say, God, turn my heart toward your statutes. God, let my heart turn. Turn it away from fear. Turn it away from anger. Turn it away from unholy habits. Turn it away from passions. Turn it away from cigarettes. The body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like, well, you don't understand. No, your flesh, your heart may say, these cigarettes are wonderful. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Forget about that. What is the Lord saying? You know, what is the Lord saying? And you say, God, turn my heart towards your word. Now, just about done here. What does it mean in practical terms? What is happening when God begins to turn our hearts? Okay, it's a twofold thing. I'm gonna put it up here and we're going to be. Andy, could you put that up? Here's what is basically happening. When God inclines our hearts, it means to arm or to stock our hearts with truth so that we can choose well. Okay? So part of the reason why you come here, part of the reason why you read the word is because you're looking for the truth. You will know the truth and the truth will what? So the heart has to be armed or well stocked with truth, especially in an area where we're struggling with. For example, if you battle with fear, how many know you should be armed with lots of promises that help you to overcome fear? How many would say amen? So God gives us the word, and it's sort of, we get a stock of truth in our hearts, and our hearts become full of that truth. And then that truth, because David said, and I'm gonna put this up in a moment, but David said, thy word I have hidden in my, that I might not sin against thee. You see, he stocked his heart. And then as he did that, as the heart, whatever the heart is full of, how many know, whatever the heart is full of, that's what the heart is going to do. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Above all, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So when we're filling ourselves with the word, this is why you read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Why? Because when you read your Bible every day, what are you doing? You're stocking your heart with. So how's the inventory, guys? Here's a great question. How's the inventory of your heart? You ever go someplace? I went to buy something the other day, and they said, oh, we ran out. Right? We ran out. We don't have that. Don't you love going someplace and you get there and you're like, oh, surely they have and they don't have it? Well, you know, how many know that the worst thing in the world is to run out of inventory of the Word of God in our hearts? Can I get an amen? So that's the first thing that's happening, is the heart is being armed and stocked. And then here's the second thing that is happening. The second thing that is happening is when the heart is getting filled with the Word of God, it means to begin the replacement process. It's to begin the replacement process. Now, typically on a Sunday, I would put a couple of verses up, but I'm just going to tell you. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the, everyone, renewing of your mind. Okay? So there's a replacement where the heart is convinced of A, we fill ourselves with the Word of God, and as we fill ourselves with the Word of God, the heart starts to be convinced of B. And there's a replacement process. Now, this is a very powerful, very profound spiritual principle. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to close, okay? Jesus, when he was teaching once, and you can go look it up. Jesus, when he was teaching once, he talked about what happens to someone when a demon is cast out of them. So listen closely. These were the words of Christ himself. And he said, when a demon is cast out of someone, okay, when they are demon-possessed, that means that they were full of the devil. When a demon is cast out of someone, okay, it says it goes and it searches, and it goes to different places searching, and if it can't find another place to rest, it comes back. Now, when it comes back, if it finds the place that it was at, if he finds the place clean and swept, it looks all nice, okay? If it finds it clean and swept, what he does is he goes, oh, nice digs. So what he does is he goes and gets other demons and comes back and now fills that person again, okay? Because you can be clean, but you can be empty. Okay? This is what Jesus was teaching. Some people come to church, get clean. Come to church, get clean. Come to church, get clean. And that's good. How many know? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus? Amen? Hallelujah. And by the way, by telling you this story, I'm trying to highlight a principle. We don't believe that you can be a Christian and be demon-possessed. Because when you're born again, the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. And how many know, where Christ is hanging out, the devil's not hanging out there. Okay? But here's the thing, okay? If you're not filling yourself, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've been saying it over, over, and over. So when you're full of the Word, you know what? You're full of God. If you're empty of the Word, then you're not so full of God. You're a child of God. You belong to God. You've got the Spirit of God. But not everyone, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're strong in God. You could be a Christian and be a carnal Christian. You could be a Christian and be a foolish Christian. How many know the only way to be full of God is you got to be full of the Word of God? Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so here it is, and then we'll close here. So here's what happens. He says, so the demon goes, he comes back, and now the situation is worse. Why? It's because getting cleaned is not enough. In other words, as wonderful as forgiveness is, listen to me, his mercies are new every morning. The minute you turn to God and ask him for forgiveness, he'll do it. But remember, it's not God's will for you to get forgiven, go back, stay weak, come back, get forgiven, go back, stay weak. How many know we're supposed to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, until we all appear before him in Zion? How many would say amen? So here's what it means. What it means is is that we have to ask the Lord to fill our hearts and to begin a replacement process. Okay? It's to begin a replacement process. So many people in this room have a story, and you say, I used to be like this. Okay, you know what's so powerful about Chrissy's book? It's who she used to be, and then the difference that Christ has made in her life. You see? It's like, I used to be like this, but the more I get full of God, He makes me more like Him. And so, incline my heart towards your word, toward your statutes, and not towards selfish gain. It's deep stuff. Can I, I'll close with this thought. Look, this impacts the state of your marriage. This impacts, if you're a boss here or a leader, this impacts your leadership, you know? This impacts so many different facets of our life. This impacts in a lot of ways why we don't get promotions, you know? If someone has a habit of, you know, some people, their every clock in their life is broken. They can't help it, they just break, and that's why they're always late. No matter where they go, the clocks are busted, right? How many know, unless the Lord changes that, okay, unless the Lord changes that, unless there's a dealing of God, you know. Some people are addicted to People magazine, you know, instead of the prophets, you know. Instead of reading Isaiah, they're reading People magazine. And you keep justifying, you fill yourself with all of that, and you fill yourself, what's the world doing? What's the world doing instead of what's going on in the kingdom? What is God doing? What is God saying? And then even with sincere heart, you're like frustrated, and it's like, here's what has to happen. God, incline my heart toward your word and not toward selfish gain. I would say that as best as I could judge from biographies of spiritual people, church history, the life of the Apostle Paul, Paul began with confessing that he was a sinner, and at the end of his life, he not only said he was a sinner, at the end of his life, he said, I am the chief of sinners. At the end of his life, Paul said to them, listen, bring me the scriptures and the spiritual books. He knew he was going to die, and he was still saying, if the Lord gives me a few hours, God, turn my heart towards your word. God, because how many know when we fill ourselves with the word, we're filling ourselves with him. And the Lord is speaking to us. The Lord is speaking to us as a church. We cannot make a difference if we're not full of God. We cannot impact this city if we're not full of God. We can't impact our families. We can't impact our neighborhoods. We can't impact. What do you have to impact with if you're not full of the Word? Amen. And so I want to take a few moments and say, Lord, I want you to help my heart. How many feel like, man, I need some help in my heart? That's one of the reasons why we come to the prayer meeting, is because the prayer meeting is when we take the time to say, God, please help my heart. Help my heart. I've been talking to you guys about this amazing testimony. I'm waiting to give all the details. Because I want this person to give the details themselves. Actually, there's a number of them going on right now at our church. I'm just waiting, but I I've mentioned to you that I said to a person not too long ago, do you really feel like you can be there again? And they were like, look, I've learned a lesson. I spent my whole life running. No matter where you run, okay, you will always just run into yourself. And he said, and I kept having these chronic collisions with myself. If the same thing, same obstacle, same problem, same struggle, even though the Bible says we're more than conquerors, if it's the same thing, maybe the real issue is that God has to turn our hearts in a different way so that we could find the new solution. Maybe there has to be a shift that has to be taking place. We need to say, God, we live with this as pastors. Let me tell you something. When things go wrong, the first thing I have to do is look at myself and say, God, how do we fix this? God, what do you want me to change? Instead of blaming the devil and blaming the city and blaming this, no. God, speak to me because you have all the answers. Let's lift our hands to him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. We're going to pray. I want everyone to take someone's hand. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for a couple of very specific things. We're going to pray that God would give us the help to release those things that are holding us back. Even though our hearts feel like it's gain, it's really not gain. The attitudes, the paradigms, the perspectives, the things that we've believed, things that are contrary to his word, we're going to pray that there would be a release, a disengagement. We need a holy disengagement from things that are holding us back. The Spirit of God is here. He's here to bring a disengagement. And then after we disengage from the lie, we want to ask God to help us to engage the truth. Turn our hearts toward your word tonight. So begin to pray. No excuses, no blame. We want a work of the Spirit right now. We're not blaming anyone. We're asking God to come and work inside of us. Everyone pray to the left and to the right. Hallelujah. Powerful disengagement, oh God. Bring a release of the old, oh God, things that are holding us down. Whatever is holding us down, whatever is holding us back, break, oh God, our heart ties. Break every heart tie. Break fear. Break lust. Break lies. Break anger. Break every unholy justification. No more justification, oh God, of what is wrong and what is contrary to your word, oh God. Tear down idols today. Tear down false worship, oh God. Incline our hearts away, oh God, from those things. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, begin to pray for fulfillment. Begin to pray for fullness of the word and for fulfillment, for strength and victory. God, we claim the freedom that the word of God gives tonight, oh God. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, oh God. We pray for freedom. We pray for fullness. We pray for strength, oh God. Replace, oh God, replace, oh God, tonight. Let there be a transformation, a renewing of every mind and heart, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we pray for the abundant life for our brothers and sisters tonight, to the left and to the right. God, whatever has been holding us back from your perfect plan, from your fulfillment, oh God, turn our hearts towards, oh God, what you have for us, towards the truth that sets us free. Turn every heart tonight, oh God. Tear down pride. Tear down stubbornness and turn our hearts towards what is good, oh God. God, we believe you tonight. God, we thank you that you are able to deal with the deep stuff in our hearts, oh God. The deep stuff in our marriages. Oh God, in all of our struggles, God, you can deal with the deep stuff, oh God. And where sin abounds, your grace even more abounds, oh God. Your help even more abounds, oh God. And we're thanking you tonight. We're thanking you, God, for turning our hearts towards the truth that sets us free. And I pray that as the days unfold, Lord, I pray, God, that every person would be directed by the Holy Spirit as to what truth to really get full of. I pray that you would start showing us the exact promises to memorize and to meditate on. I pray that you would arm every person with the exact word that they need to answer the devil, to answer, oh God, in the moment of battle, in the heat of the struggle, God. God, lead your people. Make us armed and dangerous for the kingdom of darkness, oh God. We thank you, God, and we praise you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we want to give you glory in advance for everything we're going to see you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.